Peter chapter 1. We started this message last week, and I want to finish it up this evening. We titled it, Add to Your Faith, These Spiritual Virtues. And we talked about the verb there in the Greek form. It's an imperative, which means it's a command, but it's also passive, which means it's something we have to allow to happen in our lives. It just doesn't happen by accident. I had three things that we must do in order to have these virtues in our life. By the way, the Bible says we're called unto glory and virtue. God wants us to be morally excellent. He wants us to have right behavior, which is becoming of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, we need to be saved. And if we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And the Bible talks a lot about yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. We're to walk in the Spirit. And so we have to be reminded that the Holy Spirit lives within us, and He's always with us, and He'll help us. Well, let's remember to take note and attention to Him being with us, and let's obey the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will bring the Word of God to our attention. So that's why it's so important for us to have God's Word in us. We have to really know it. And as I read, many times there's things, and you've probably done this, you've read, you know, I've read that before, but if you read carefully and with a lot of thought, you'll see things that you never saw before. And the more you read, the more you'll understand, the more it becomes a part of you. And so it's very, very important for us to read. And this week, I'm in the book of Luke. We won't take time for testimonies tonight, but even as I was reading in the book of Luke, I found some things. Okay, Pastor Terry, where do you get this? Why do we need to be in God's Word every single day? Well, we find in Matthew 4:4 and in Luke 4:4, as Jesus was tempted, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, you can't live just by bread, the food that we partake, but by every word of God, it says in Luke. And Mark and Matthew, it says, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we don't hear God speak today, do we? He doesn't speak audibly. He'll use the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through His Word. And we need to be in our Bibles on a regular basis. And I really believe, again, like I said last week, we need to make this a priority in our life, and we ought to be in God's Word every single day, reading some, taking some time to read, and so forth. Also, hold your place here, and then we're going to pray in a little while here, but let's turn to Luke chapter 10. As you hold your place there in 2 Peter, I was going to read another one, but I'll just read one of them. I found two places. Matter of fact, let's do it. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 19. It says, then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Okay, see, it's important. Again, we're not reading just to say we read the Bible or just so we can gain learning. We're reading so that we will obey what we read, and that's where the transformation comes in place. If we'll read it and say, now, Lord, help me with this. This is an area of my life I need to change. This is something I need to put on in my life. And the Lord will help you. Now, let's turn to Luke chapter 10. And verse 38. These are some familiar verses here in the Gospels, but Matthew 10:38, a story here of Martha and Mary. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What was Mary doing? She was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and listening to his teaching. By the way, when you come to church, which is part of a spiritual growth, we ought to be in church and hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and we ought to be very diligent to really listen and really get something from the message. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart through the message. You know, somebody can get up here and maybe do a terrible job, but if they're reading Scripture and they're talking about the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit can take that and work in your heart and life. But just coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night's not enough. Okay, we will learn. That'll help us. But we need to every day sit, if you will, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, sit at the feet of God and let him teach us. And so we need to read. And so you see how important this is. All right, I'm just quickly moving on here. Last week, we just talked about two things. First of all, he says in 2 Peter, now if you would turn back there, and let me have a prayer here before we get into the rest of this message. All right, Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. And Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, what a wonderful privilege it is to hear how people have trusted Jesus Christ and received salvation. And Father, I just thank you and praise you for the testimonies tonight. I'm thankful that these folks are a part of Mount Zion Baptist Church. And I pray, Father, that you would greatly use us as a body of Christ to fulfill your desires in our lives. And we'll thank you and praise you, Father, for what you accomplished there. Help me tonight. Use your word in our hearts and lives tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 2 Peter 1:8 says, For if these things, talking about these virtues, these essential virtues, be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, they're to abound in us means they're to be personally ours, constantly growing, more dominant in our life. And so we talked last week, the first result of this is spiritual growth. It says we won't be barren. That is yielding, lying idle, yielding no return. Listen, I want my spiritual life to produce fruits. I want God to be pleased with my life, so I'm going to have to be in God's Word and obeying God's Word so that my life produces something. I don't want it to lie idle. Think about it. You know, well, that's probably not a good thing to think about, but if you're not careful, think about your own life and say, okay, am I growing as a Christian? Or am I lying idle? Maybe I'm even backsliding. It's a serious problem because you're to be growing in the Lord and you'll be to becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. And so very important for you to do that. Unfruitful, yielding no fruit. In other words, not growing. And we gave you some verses on that. I won't re-preach that point there. Also, spiritual fellowship. It says that won't be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we use that as a thing. You know, as a couple gets married and they spend time together, they should be drawing closer together. They should be loving. By the way, when I first got married, I thought I loved my wife, but I look back now and think, wow, I love her a whole lot more now than I did then. Isn't that true, men and ladies? I hope that's true. And because I've gotten to know them, and we've gotten to know our spouses, and that relationship is much more intimate and more special. And that's the way it ought to be with us and the Lord. And so we have to spend time with Him. As you're reading, hopefully you see how good God is. I love the advice that one fella gave Lois about when you're doubting your salvation. We're going to get to that. He said, well, you need to spend some time in the Word. Don't make the mistake I did one time. Somebody came to me and said, you know, I'm not really sure I'm saved. Somebody told me I might not be saved. And I said, well, you know, looked at their eyes, told them, well, I forget what I told them, but what I should have told them is this: get in the Bible and read it. Make sure that you're saved. Don't just tell somebody they're saved. You don't know that. Only God knows that. And the Word of God is powerful and can change your life. So, again, spiritual fellowship, being in the Word of God, spending time with God every day, and you'll grow to love Him more and more. And I think I gave some verses along those lines too. All right, let's go to number three here. I'll try to get through this whole thing tonight. The third thing I see is spiritual discernment and also spiritual direction. Look at that in verse 9, 2 Peter 1:9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. All right, the idea of blind there is darkened by smoke, cannot see very far. The idea is a person who lacks these things is nearsighted. They are living for today and the temporal things and not for tomorrow and the eternal things. How about that, Christian? Are you living, you know, we're teaching a financial class, and part of the things is, you know, here in America, we're really blessed. We have a whole lot of things, don't we? I was just telling the class this morning, just go to a yard sale and see all the stuff people are getting rid of. And some of it's pretty nice stuff. And but they, we just have so much stuff. And I was telling them to be able to save money. You can go to yard sales. You can go. There's all kinds of thrift shops. And you can find all kinds of things there at a lot better price. Because here in America, we've got so much. And we want more. More, more, more. And again, we're not to be living for the things of this world. But we'll be living for the things that are unseen. Those are the eternal things, not the temporal things. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. You know, I was saying again, too, you know, look, if you don't have a whole lot of money, you don't go out and buy a Corvette, do you? You go out and buy a cheaper car. You know, there's a lot of things we can do without. But there's some things, like if you have a job, you're going to need a vehicle, so you're going to have to save money to get a vehicle. But that doesn't mean you have to buy the most expensive vehicle out there, does it? You can buy something that meets your needs. And so, again, we've got to be careful that we're not setting our affections on the things of this world. And instead, we're to be setting our affections on things above. Furthermore, this person faces a trial or temptation, he doesn't see, he's focused only on the immediate situation and doesn't see beyond the trial the temptation. Kind of going along with what Pastor preached about this morning. When something comes into my life, I am to realize that, hey, God has a plan and a purpose in this. I may not see what it is, but I need to trust God. And, you know, we can read the stories of people like Joseph and the story of Paul. You know, Paul, as Pastor preached this morning, here he is in prison, and he's, oh, woe is me, I'm in prison, and so forth. No, he didn't look at it that way. He saw it as an opportunity to serve the Lord while he was in prison. And see, he wasn't nearsighted. He wasn't blind to what was happening. Because, by the way, what does the Bible say that happens to those that live godly in Christ Jesus? Suffer persecution. That's exactly right. And so when we're suffering, we might say, oh, wow, what's something? I must be not doing something right. Well, no, that's not necessarily the truth. The truth is, the Bible tells us if we live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. And so that's why it's very important for us to be in our Bibles, to have this spiritual discernment and direction. Lord, what do you want me to do? Is there any direction in the Bible? Well, there's quite a few things. Some simple things probably most of us all heard about. A young man wants to get married. Is there anything in the Bible that tells you what to look for? What's one? What's that? A believer. Very good, Pastor. That's exactly what I was thinking. That's very simple. They have to be a believer. They have to be a saved person. We find that in the Scriptures, okay? So very important for us to see that. And we could also look and say, okay, they ought to be somebody who's wanting to please God, somebody who wants to walk with God, someone who wants to do things so for the Lord. And so we see spiritual discernment and spiritual direction as we're reading our Bibles. It's going to happen if we're paying close attention to it and we're making it a part of our lives. Same way with a job. What job should I take? Well, there's some things in the Bible as to what job I should take. First of all, can I work at a restaurant that's serving alcohol? Is there anything in the Bible about giving another person a drink of alcohol? There is, right? So right away I'll say, hey, if this is a job and I have to serve alcohol, then that's going against Scripture. I'm not going to take that job. I say, well, if I don't take that job, I don't get a job. Don't you think God will bless you if you do right? He will. God will bless you. And there are other things there. We'll move on. But spiritual discernment and spiritual direction in your life. Remember, as trials and tribulations come in your life, God's working on us and He wants to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul said, count it all joy. I'm sorry, James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Okay? The fourth thing I see is the assurance of salvation. It says that 2 Peter 1:9 at the end there, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It says, he that lacketh these things. Hey, if you're not in the Bible, you know what happens? You start doubting your salvation many times. I remember what one person said. A lot of times we base our salvation on our performance, don't we? Aren't you glad we aren't saved by our performance? But what happens when we're not in our Bibles, what happens to our lives? We start sinning more. We start getting away from God. And we start doubting our salvation. Boy, if I was a Christian, I can't believe a Christian wouldn't do something like that, would they? Oh. Christians sometimes get themselves in a mess. And you know why it is? They're not in the Word of God, and they're not practicing what the Bible teaches. And then they begin to doubt their salvation. And so you need to be in the Bible. Because if you're not, you'll make worldly choices, just like the unsaved do. Your ethics, your morals, your standards are much like the unsaved. You'll be worldly, you'll not be godly. And by the way, Peter doesn't take this lightly. Look what he says in verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You see that? Make sure you're saved. Check out your salvation based upon the Scriptures. The Word of God is saying also, if there's no growth or motivation to cultivate these essential virtues in your spiritual life, you better make sure your faith is genuine. Did you know in the Scriptures, as you're reading through the New Testament and through the Gospels, Jesus had a lot of followers. They believed in Him, but they weren't truly saved. And they didn't walk anymore with Him. What I mean by that, there are people that believe God is real. They may even believe that Jesus Christ is who He said He is. But what does James say? The devils believe in what? Tremble. So God is just saying, make sure that you're saved. Make sure your faith is genuine. James chapter 2 and verse 20, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" James 2:26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." We used this illustration last week. If you plant a seed, in which I every year I plant green beans, and sometimes I have seeds left over from one year to the next, and so I don't throw them out. I put them in a jar, airtight, and then the next year I'll plant them again, and half of them don't grow. Why? They're dead. There's no growth there. Some of them grow. And those are still living, and God raises them up, and God waters them, and the nutrients from the ground and so forth, they grow. But some of them are dead because there's no growth there. Now listen, I certainly wouldn't want to make somebody doubt their salvation, but I'd sooner you doubt your salvation and run to the Bible to make sure you're saved than anything else. Okay? Because 2 Timothy 3:5 says this, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." What does that mean? What does it mean to have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof? I didn't really study that out. I probably studied it out. I would think possibly it means this. They don't have the Holy Spirit's power working in them. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't take that as gospel yet. I didn't study that. But really, it's saying here, if they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Not everybody who says they're a Christian or a true born again Christian. And so make sure that your calling and election is sure. Make sure you're saved. Go to the Bible and see what God has to say about it. I know I'm saved not because of anything I've done. I know I'm saved because of what God says in the Scriptures. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I believe what God says, and therefore I know I'm saved. And I want to please God, and I'm sure you want to too. If you're a child of God, you want to try to please God, and He'll help you to do that, be in God's Word every single day. The fifth thing, spiritual stability. He says in the end of verse 10 there, 10b, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. By the way, he's not talking about sinless perfection. He's telling us, instead of the ups and downs of a double-minded person who is unstable in all his ways, who is driven by the wind and toss. You know, different things. Listen, if we know what the Bible says, then we don't have to... there's a lot of teaching out there, isn't there? And a lot of the teaching is incorrect. And so, know what the Bible says. There's a lot of churches that, even teach, since I'm on the subject of finances in Sunday school, prosperity gospel. Where do you find that? If you give, God will bless you, but it's not necessarily that you aren't going to have some hard times, because maybe God has to work in your attitude about finances. Maybe He has to put you on some hard times so you learn to trust Him and not trust finances and so forth. And besides, we don't give just to get. We give because that's what God says to do. And God will bless us as we give. Spiritual stability. We won't be tossed to and fro. James 1:6, "But let him ask in faith, not through wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And so, if I'm in my Bible, it'll help me to be spiritually stable. I won't be tossed to and fro, back and forth. In fact, I like what Psalms 1 says. This person is stable and productive in his spiritual life. You know what Psalms 1 says, don't you? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful. I'm going to mess it up. But anyway, But let's get to the good part. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what shall he be like? A tree planted by the rivers of water. Did you ever notice, do you ever see trees moving around? They don't move, do they? They stay planted. And that's the way we should be. We should be like a tree planted, and you know, our fruit will not wither. God's going to bless us and make us fruitful and so forth if we are in God's Word. We're meditating upon the Word of God day and night. See, that's another thing, is reading and then giving some thought to what you've read. So very important, but I think it's a lost art. I think a lot of people don't take time to do that, but we read and say, oh good, I read my devotions this morning, and now I'm good for the day. Do you remember what you read this morning? What? You didn't read this morning? No, I'm just kidding. But it, really, think about it. What did you read this morning? Where did you read? Did you read? I know one thing I remember reading this morning, and that is, as I was reading, that one thing I have to remember, God spoke to my heart about, is this, is humility. And I think it was the disciples or those wanting to get the upper seats in the rooms and so forth. And so that's something I have to work on, is just being humble. Okay? And I know people say, oh, Pastor Terry, you're humble. No, I'm not. I'm not at all. In fact, every day I pray, Lord, forgive me for my pride and my self-centeredness. Because I'm not humble. I'm not like the guy that said, like Brother Barclay said, did you ever read my book on humility and how I obtained it? Something like that. No, I didn't obtain that. Pride is something I think we all deal with. And God deals with that over and over. And so anyway, giving thought. Last thing, and then I'm done tonight. Not only these things, but spiritual expectancy. He ends with a wonderful hope. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word ministered here means to add generously, supply a full and lavish welcome into his eternal presence upon death. By the way, wouldn't it be great for you and I when we meet our Lord? He says to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Won't it be horrible if one of us, you'd be in this room tonight, and he would say to you, depart from me, for I never knew you. Does he know you? Do you know him? Are you taking time, spending time with him? Second Timothy 4:8, Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. As I read my Bible, I'm reminded that the Lord could come at any time. And we need to be ready for that. And in the meantime, what are we to be doing? We're to be watching. That doesn't just necessarily mean looking. It means to be occupied. Occupy till I come. And he gives parables and stories about that. 10 virgins, I guess it was, that had their lamps trimmed and so forth. You know, we need to be speaking of the Holy Spirit, of course, and all those things, but we need to be ready. That spiritual expectancy. As I read, I'm expecting my Lord to return, and I'm looking forward to it. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. I'm looking forward to being with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I want to encourage you. And I've been along these lines, and this is where the Lord has been leading me. But we'll go on to something different next time. But let me encourage you to make Bible reading a priority in your life, and meditation, giving thought to it, and asking the Lord to help you to obey what you've read. Now, as you read, you're gonna see how short you really fall, even as far as witnessing. Pastor has, again, we shouldn't even need these encouragements, but we do. I need them as well. Giving out 5 gospel tracts. You know, I was talking to my wife, and I'm done, but we were talking about, Pastor and I were talking about, you know, you go to a foreign field and it's easier to give out literature, it seems, there than it is here in the United States. Well, first of all, when you go to a foreign field, most of the times you don't even speak their language. You just hold out a booklet and say, here, and they take it. Here in the United States, you give somebody a tract and they look at you like, no thanks, I'm good. Or, you know, I laid a tract down one time to a guy, and he says, get that away from me, get that away from me. And I was like, it's like I gave him poison or something. But, you know, it makes you feel kind of odd. And, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. And every one of us can give out 5 gospel tracts. Now, I just put myself on the spot. I got to give out 5 this week. Okay? But you know what? If I don't do it, it's because I'm just not trying. Because, come on, 5 gospel tracts, Pastor Terry, we should be able to do that, right? We should be able to do that. And that's what the Bible says. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At least we can do is that. And so you see what I mean? So God, help us. Help us to be a witness. Help us to give out gospel tracts. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to pray. You know, last thing. I was thinking that a couple weeks ago, Beth had picked out some songs as we were up there on a Wednesday night. Little children's songs. And the thought occurred to me, you know, how simple and yet how profound. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll what? Us adults need a song like that, don't we? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow. Simple. And yet, how diligent are we at that? And there was another song along the same lines. So let's do it. Okay, let's get in our Bibles every day. Make it a priority in our lives to be in the Bible. Meditate on the Scriptures. And then ask the Lord to help us to do what we've read. Okay? Let's pray.